reading is 2 Peter chapter 3. Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I have written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Saviour through your apostles. First of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, "Where is this coming he promised?" Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters, also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote to you with the wisdom that God gave him. He writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do the other scriptures, to their own destruction. Therefore, dear friends, since you already know this, be on your guard, so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from your secure position, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen.
It's great to be back, and this is just going to be an experiment. We're not back again next week, just to explain that. This is a first test to see how it works out, to learn our lessons. There's 26 people coming tonight, which is great. So they're going to get a much better sermon because I'll have practiced it once already. So you're the dress rehearsal and they're getting the real thing. So let's turn to this question, which is to me so interesting. And I thought if we were coming back to church, what would be the ideal, the most spiritual way to start? And I thought a Philip Watson joke, because then you would know you were back in the right place. So here we go. A man who was praying for help with his finances prayed to God, "Is it true with you, Lord, that one day is 1,000 years and a 1,000 years is as one day?" "Yes," said the Lord. And the man said, "Would it be true then that $1,000,000 is as a few cents and a few cents is as $1,000,000? "Yes," said the Lord. "Okay, Lord, then, will you give me $1,000,000? Requested the man. "Yes," said the Lord, "in a few days." Think about it. We're carrying on our series in 2 Peter. You know, I need a bit more feedback here, a bit more loud laughter and enthusiasm, you see. I don't know what it's like out there, but it's a bit, I'm not carrying the floor at the moment. So here we go. We're coming to the end of our series on 2 Peter. We've been going through this very interesting book. And this is an amazing chapter because as well as closing off the letter, it also actually links up many, many different bits of the New Testament that talk about what happens next. What's the message to us who are Christians? And it struck me that right now we're in a time when actually we really, really want to know what happens next. We're in the middle of this pandemic that gets worse and better, better and worse. We've got economic distress that we know is going to be the outcome of this time. There's the major long-term threat of climate change that dominates what's going on if you think about the future in 10, 15 years. There's political dangers all around the world at the moment with great tensions. Lord, please come back and sort it out. And I think there is something about actually how we might feel right now, which actually makes us more interested in this question than we might have been a year ago when things perhaps in many of those issues were ticking along. So we're going to see if the clicker works, and if it doesn't, I might have to hand over to you, Jack, okay? So I'll be doing lots of signalling, so if we can move on, Jack. And the outline, go 2 more, please, just click on. I'll get the whole slide. So the outline of this talk is exactly what the passage talks about as well, and if you've got access to it, you can see the Bible. Is Jesus coming back? We're going to learn 5 things about God's plan for the end days, and then if he is, what sort of people do we need to be? Okay, let's move on. Is Jesus coming back? And it's interesting because this passage actually blurs Jesus coming back and God's judgment and what happens at the end times. And as you know, lots of different people, when they preach, they think about all sorts of different ways of talking about what the Bible tells us. I can give you categorically, absolutely, without any doubt, what the Bible says, which is that we don't know very clearly. We've got lots of clues. We've got lots of things we can be certain are going to happen, like Jesus will return, but we don't know the details. And this passage sort of helps and sort of doesn't, as we will see. If we can go on, Jack, the next one shows a whole list of things. So we can see in chapter 3, verse 4, it says he is coming. The scoffers, when's he coming then? When's Jesus coming? Verse 7 talks about a day of judgment. Verse 10 talks about the day of the Lord. Verse 12 talks about the day of God. And verse 13 talks about the new heaven and the new earth. And you can find references to all of those things across the whole of the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament. And if we click on Jack, God will come in judgment again, is the message. God is going to come back and judge. And this is the somber message of this chapter, whereas most of it to me, as I came to preach it, felt quite upbeat. But this is somber. God will come in judgment again. And as Chris preached last week and told us about Noah and the flood, the point about this passage, as it says here, Peter says, look, people who say, where is he coming then? When's God going to sort things out? Are forgetting, verse 5, deliberately forgetting that long ago God judged the world by the flood, verse 6. And he's done it before and he's going to do it again. And 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, had these lovely words. It said this, the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials and to hold the unrighteous for punishment on the day of judgment. So the godly, those saved by Jesus, we will be saved, but the ungodly will be judged. And this is a somber message. Is Jesus coming again? Yes, he will. But it isn't good news for everyone. It's good news for those who follow Jesus. Next slide, please, Jack. The next thing it teaches us, is Jesus coming back? Yes, because he keeps his promises. In 2 Peter chapter 3, we get three references to the fact of his promises. Verse 4, verse 9, verse 14. This is what he's promised. And of course, you can think of many other words. And if we go on to the next click, Jack, to bring that up, all these other references in the Bible and many more tell us that just as certainly as Jesus was coming the first time to save us, so Jesus is coming back again. And of course, if you think even about taking communion, when we take communion, we often say these words, don't we? Whenever we eat the bread and drink the wine, we proclaim the Lord's death. For how long? Until he comes. And that's why we do it, because we know Jesus is coming back. He's promised he would, and he will. Next one. And as Lucy's already talked about, we know too that Jesus is coming back, but God is giving us time. He's patient with us. And the next, Jack, please. And he's giving us time because God wants everyone to have the opportunity to repent. There's that wonderful message in the Old Testament and the New that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. God, our Savior, wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. This often leads to a lot of discussions in the Alpha course. We've got a group still going on online, just a handful of us. And one of them is struggling all the time about, well, is it fair? Is there a free choice? And so on. And there's lots of things that tell us that God chooses people in the Bible, and that needs to be balanced. And there are lots of things that assure us that God wants everyone to have the opportunity to repent and to be saved. That's the third point. Number four, if we go on, Jack, is Jesus coming back? Yes, and it will happen when we don't expect it. It talks about a thief in the night in chapter 4. Verse 10, the day of the Lord will come like a thief. And this is a picture that's used a lot. Obviously, I think nowadays with our burglar alarms and so on, people are more likely to break in during the day when we're out, I suspect. But at night, we, in the old days especially, people were very concerned that the thief might break in at night and steal from your house. And that's a picture that Jesus used, and a picture that's used by Paul and in Revelation as well, telling us that it's going to be a surprise. So actually, when we say at the moment, is the pandemic a sign of the end times? Is Jesus about to come back? Well, you can't rely on that because, of course, we don't know when Jesus is coming back. And it's going to surprise most people. It might be now, we don't know. It's a sign of a plague, but the plague itself is not necessarily the sign of the end times. And the last point then, is Jesus coming back, that this passage teaches us, is found in verse 14. In keeping with his promise, we're looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. And I don't, this picture is someone's impression of a new heaven and a new earth. I've no idea whether it speaks to you or not. And sometimes as well, when the word is there, we should look at it as a renewed heaven and a renewed earth. So we should be concerned about this earth now, because God is going to renew it. It matters what we do to this earth right now. But the promise is there that there will be a new heaven and a new earth. And I love the phrase, one more click, Jack, please. A home of righteousness. Home is such a special place, isn't it? It's the place where we feel we belong. A home of righteousness. And so for those of us who follow Jesus, we can look forward with great excitement to the fact that when he comes back, that is starting the process of the renewing of the earth, the renewing of the heavens, and we will be with him forever. Revelation has these wonderful words. This is what a home of righteousness will be like, a world filled with God's righteousness. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away, and he is making everything new. Just take a moment then to think, here are the five things. Is Jesus coming back? If you're in a group, you could talk to them. Otherwise, just think about it likewise at home if you're in a group, or you could think about it. Which of these particularly speaks to you today in your situation? So just take a minute today to think about it. Which of those things, those facts about Jesus coming back that we find in this chapter, which one most speaks to you today? Speak and chat or think about it and then pray about it. Now just interrupt and pray at this point in time. Father God, we thank you that we can rely on you. We know that one day you are going to sort this world out. We thank you so much for that. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that one day you are coming back to be with us, to take us to be with you, that we will be in that place, that home of righteousness. We thank you so much for that promise, especially at this time when things are so difficult. We look forward to that time when there will be no illness, no pain, no death, when you'll be with us and we will be with you forever as your people. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. And so to move to the second bit for just 5 minutes or so, what kind of people should we be? And if Jack could just move me on. One of the things about this passage is three times it talks about promises and three times it talks about looking forward. And if you think Lucy and I are looking forward to our holiday, because in a week's time, we hope to go off to West Wales, which at the moment is open, and we hope to get there, and we're looking forward to it. And that gives you a sense. Even yesterday, I was just booking a ferry trip to make sure we can go to Bardsey Island off the end of West Wales Peninsula. And so you start to plan and think about life in the light of the fact that you've got something coming up. So what kind of people should we be if God is coming to judge the earth? If Jesus is coming to return, how should we live? What kind of people? We should be living in the light of his return. We should be looking forward to his intervention in our world. Jack, please. And in this, obviously, there's the looking forward bit, being concerned for those people we know who are not yet Christians, because there will be judgment, but also looking forward to a world renewed, to the heavens and God being with us forever. This is something to look forward to. The second thing we can look forward to is this, that we are called to be people who are to live to hasten his return. I don't know if you saw that when we read it together, but shown in verse 12. It says, you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. Have you ever realized that God actually wants you to help bring Jesus back sooner? Now, that might surprise you, but if we could bring up the next bit, the how. Well, there's various things. Earlier in this service, we said the Lord's Prayer, and that contains the words, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's a future prayer looking forward to the new heaven and the new earth. Also, in preaching, I don't mean preaching to the converted inside the church, but when we share about Jesus, we're also hastening the return of Jesus, because there's one promise which does say after this Jesus will come, and that's in Matthew, where it says the gospel, the good news of Jesus, will be preached to the whole world, and after that Jesus will return. Well, just about 99% of the people in the world have now got the Bible, the good news of Jesus, in their own language, but there are still some that don't have. There are still some very remote places where people haven't yet heard the good news of Jesus. We can have an influence by supporting those who are sharing the good news. And of course, we should share the good news of Jesus with those around us as well. And then, of course, in 2 Peter 3, verse 11, the verse before, it says, what kind of people should we be? We ought to live holy and godly lives. And can we go on to the next one, Jack? Because that tells us a bit more about the sort of people we should be, living holy and godly lives. Now, actually, I came across an amazing story. I believe this is true. A chap called Paul Tospern. And in August 1961, now I know this is history for some of you younger ones, Paul Tospern was a theologian living in West Berlin. When the Soviets decided to erect the concrete Berlin Wall, dividing East Berlin and West Berlin, he realized that actually God was calling him to move from where he lived in comfortable West Berlin and to go to East Berlin because the church would need his testimony when he was there. They would need his help and support. And he became one of East Germany's Christian leaders under the communist regime. In 1986, so 25 years later, an American visited him and asked him, "How are your kids doing? Are they in university?" And he said, "No, my kids are very clever, but because they will not join the Young Communist League, they cannot go to university. But they're all training to be pastors and teachers in the church." And then he said, "How are your parents, Paul?" And Paul said, "My parents are dead. I was not allowed by the government to go back into West Berlin to see them. They died without me being there. I had to shout to friends over the wall and ask how they were doing in their last days." And it really struck me that this man had realized what it meant to follow Jesus. He had lived a holy and godly life and made a life choice for the benefit of the kingdom of God that was not for his benefit. Holiness and godliness have a price, but the price is small in comparison to knowing God more closely. If we click on, yeah, so we are told as well in verse 14 that we need to aim to be found spotless and at peace with God. Spotless and blameless, actually, is the sort of description that comes from, spotless and blameless comes from the idea of a sacrifice. Do you remember a lamb without blemish, that picture? It's the same sort of words. And so the picture here is that we are called to be living sacrifices, living up to the standards that God wants. I thought about this. It's easy. Can we go on to the next bit, Jack, please? It's easy to sometimes use these phrases and say, oh, well, you know, you must live spotless and blameless. But what does that actually mean? Well, 2 Peter 2:19 says this: people are slaves to whatever has mastered them. And I wonder, what has mastered you or me? Is it our career, our money, our status, our home? Is it what you look at or spend your time thinking about? Pornography, celebrity, other people's lifestyles? Is it what you crave, food and drink? If anything has mastered you, you are a slave to it. That is not living a holy and godly life. But on the other side too, there are so many positives that we're called to. 2 Peter 1:5 was the passage that Desta preached on for us. Make every effort to add to your faith, and the list was goodness, knowledge, self-control, patience, godliness, mutual affection, love, practical caring for each other, looking out for each other, giving time to each other, listening to each other, spending time with God. These are the practical ways we can move towards holy and godly living. The next one we've covered a lot from last week, but it's in the passage too. It tells us right at the end to be on our guard against false teaching. So that's another attribute that we need to have, to be on our guard against false teaching so we don't fall away. And then finally, the fifth one, if we can go on, Jack, we need to be the sort of people who really make an effort. I don't know whether your mama had any exams or tests this year, but I'm sure, Mariana, you would have said to her, now, try your best. That's something we say to children the whole time, isn't it? Try your best. If you're doing an exam, you go in there and you want to succeed. My fitness trainer, I've still been keeping up with my fitness training. I hope you can see that's evidence of that on the screen there. Still been giving my fitness training, but over Skype, okay? And he tells me what to do and watches me sweat away. And I was outside in the garden doing these exercises on Friday, which was really, really hot. And Lucy said to me, be very careful, Chris. Don't have a heart attack. Go very gently. Don't overdo it. But actually, the message of 2 Peter is that we need to make every effort. And this comes, in fact, three times again in this book, make every effort. There's a great phrase, which I don't know if you watched the cup final. I'm a sort of closet Chelsea supporter, so I was not happy with the result. But one of the phrases they often use now is, well, when they ask a player afterwards, how did it go? And they'll say, I left it all out there. I left it all out there. And what they mean is that they strived to the limit of their capacity. They didn't have another ounce of energy that they could possibly have given to the game. They left it all out there on the field. Okay? And this is something that it struck me that this is perhaps the challenge of the message today for us. Are we making an effort to be Christians? Are we living, making every effort? Or are we just going through the motions? Are we leaving it all out there for Jesus? Or are we actually coasting along? So, last slide but one, I think. Here is the summary again of the sort of people that we should be. People looking forward to Jesus' return, seeking to speed his return, living holy and godly lives, on guard against error, and making every effort to follow Jesus. Are we leaving it all out there for him? The last verse and the last slide before we come to a prayer and a song is this lovely phrase here. We are to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. He is coming back. He is wonderful. We should be looking forward to that, and we should be making every effort, leaving it all out there for Jesus. Let's pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we know that you are a God who keeps his promises, and you will be coming back. You'll be sending Jesus back to rescue us, and coming back to bring judgment, but also to bring the new heavens and the new earth. And Father God, we pray that we might live as the sort of people you want in the light of this, looking forward to that so much more wonderful future that is ours because we've been saved through the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to make every effort to live as you want us to. Amen.